Welcome to this week's Embrace the Hate. I'm one of your two hosts, Matt Nost.
I'm Rick Ingram.
Wow, the
King of Kings. What's that?
Well, I was saying the most laid back, but then I cut you off on whatever moniker you're about to bestow on yourself.
They're calling me COVID-69.
You know what? You should be proud of yourself for that. You should definitely be proud of yourself for that. Did you just come up with that, or is that something you may not have said to someone else? And you know what? I'm going to go by this.
It's fresh, but I have a feeling that it's probably not the first time it's been used by someone in this beautiful country.
Yeah, we're obviously recording this via stream, and then we're going to pull the audio from this. So for those listening, I hope it sounds good.
Yeah, and if it doesn't, you know, time to pay up. Time to pay the fiddler whore, you know.
What do they get for that? What exactly is a fiddler? So you're saying Satan?
Yeah, I'm not even sure. It's just a very common phrase, especially used with whores. And I think, you know, that's probably a bulk of our listeners.
You've been around a lot of whores? I mean, I had a whorehouse story. Was that last week, the week before? But you didn't chime in with anything. You just have some general knowledge of whores?
Mine's all based from prostitutes I met at the Comedy Store. Most of who got banged out by Josh Nassar. And just top quality women.
You knew were, you know, pros before?
There was a gang of three working girls, if you will, that hung out there for like 2 months at one point. They showed up and they're like, hey, is so-and-so here? And I don't want to put the comic on blast, but we were like, no, he doesn't usually come. And they're like, oh, well, yeah, probably. Okay. He's, we know him from Vegas, and he told us if we ever come to LA, that this is where we should come. And we were all just like, yeah, that makes sense. And then the first night they were there, all three of them left with Anthony Michael Hall, who was hanging out regularly. So after that, they were hooked.
Well, after First and 10 or whatever, what was his? No, it was Johnny something, wasn't it?
Johnny Be Good?
Yeah. He's riding high off of that. The year on SNL, you know, living on that sweet, sweet cash from the early 80s.
I mean, I think he's a rich kid. He's from Manhattan, New York, so.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Like, part of the story was he had to really work at becoming a nerd because he was always just like a Manhattan socialite kid. So when John Hughes started casting me as a dork, he was like, I'm fucking cool, bro. I don't know how to do this.
Well, then he made the transition, the full cool guy. So it's fine.
Yeah.
What was that USA show he had? It was like a crime, true crime, not true crime, but a crime procedural type of thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I can't remember.
I just remember the promos. I never saw a second of it. It was the same. It came out the same time as like Dexter.
Yeah, it was something dead or.
Okay. Yeah, I don't fucking remember. I never watched it. And
by then he was
watched for a short while. So
by then he was roiding, I believe. And
he got swole.
Fairly jacked. He was pretty swole and Freddy Got Fingered. That was a award-winning film he was in.
You've seen the whole thing?
Of course. I went and saw it in theaters. It's Funston's favorite movie.
Like legitimately or the character of Mark? That's the character of Mark's favorite movie.
He loved that movie. He's probably watched it a dozen times at least.
I want to know if it's legitimate or if it's the every once and again you can see when he goes into full Mark and his eyes lift up to the horizon and it begins. He's got a different, slightly different cadence,
yeah,
level.
Yeah, I remember him telling me how good it was when we were in college and going to see it and being generally amused. We were there's me and Funston and his girlfriend, and we were the only three people in the movie theater. And just Tom Green screaming, "Freddy got fingered, Dad."
I just remember the clips of this is how awful it was, because I was not, I liked Tom Green, but there were limitations to how much I liked Tom Green.
Yeah.
Especially at that time.
Now, yeah, he was on the decline for sure at that point.
From his high water peak of the show and being like this weird little sensation hit.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of something at first. I watched it. I enjoyed it. But it was also like weird. Over the top weird.
Yeah. I mean, that was the whole thing. It was just like, is this for real? That was like right when it really started with the, is this scripted reality or is this actually real?
And his friend that sat in the background and just drank the coffee.
Just laughed.
Yeah, just laughed. Yeah. But a really creepy kind of pedophile laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when he painted lesbians on the hood of his dad's car in the words, the slut mobile.
Yeah, I remember that. That and then, barnyard animals in the house.
Yeah. It's kind of pre-Jackass in a lot of ways.
Yeah. But Jackass has actually held up for me. There's still some, I've enjoyed by and large the movies in the theater.
Yeah, I've never watched a Jackass movie.
Honestly, like, okay, so you're going through like in the third one, the last one that came out, at least the last one that I saw, I'd say like 20-25% I could give two shits about. Like, it's not really that funny. But then the other ones, you know what? There's some solid fucking jokes in there of just stupid shit, guys doing stupid shit to each other. But they do it now. It's just fucking sad. They're all in their world. I mean,
aren't like half the original cast dead?
What? One for sure. Who else is dead?
I don't remember any of them other than Bam Majera and Johnny Knoxville.
Like Bam's buddy with the beard, blonde hair. Because you could tell there was kind of a pecking order amongst them.
Yeah.
So in essence, he was kind of Bam's number one guy, so to speak.
Yeah.
Outside of Pontius.
But Pontius. Yeah, I don't even remember that guy.
He's the other most recognized, outside of Wee Man. But the dude with the longer hair, sometimes in a ponytail, played the devil. And he would usually strip down to his Speedo thong.
Oh, yeah. That guy.
Yeah. That guy. But anyway, so the blonde haired dude is dead. Had a beard. I can't think anybody else is dead, but it'd be sad. They're all in like mid to late 40s, early 50s at this point.
Whenever I see Steve-O at the Comedy Store doing comedy, it's so terrible, but he still has enough recognition that like people listen to him. And it's just him literally rambling. Telling stories about stuff they did on Jackass. You're just like, huh, this counts? Okay.
Well, for certain people, it counts.
Yeah.
I'm sure Dustin Diamond was very much the same back in his heyday when he was touring around. Like, oh.
Before he was stabbing bitches.
Well, fucking Dirty Sanchez and women.
Is that what he's famous for? That's a slick move.
I've seen the clip of him doing it to someone, yes.
Just giving her the old screech stash. The Rod Belding treatment.
You think that just stems from he played Screech and just wants to rebel against that for the rest of his life.
Spent his whole life trying to be Zach.
Never going to happen. Come on, you think Zach Dirty Sanchez? He made up his own.
Absolutely. He gave everyone the full Kapowski.
I was racing to think. I was going to say like the Dirty Mozart and you go in the ear or try to come up with something a la Dirty Sanchez. But the full Kapowski, it opens up. It's a lot more possibilities.
Yeah. I couldn't think of the other chick's name, the one from
Showgirls.
Showgirls, yeah. Jesse Spano.
Jesse Spano, good pull. Give him the AC Slater and just it's all greasy and gross.
I can't believe that guy still has a career.
I'm amazed given like what his hair looked like then to what it does now. I just figured it was, he just had to have all that wetness in his hair at all times.
Full Jerry curl.
full Jerry Curl at a time when Jerry Curl was dead. Nobody at that point.
It didn't. It never died with Mario.
No.
In fact, I would say that all Marios nationwide probably rock the wet hair look most of the time.
Does it bother you, like when Eleanor or anybody else you know from the East Coast says Mario?
Yeah, we discuss it on Comedy Store podcast regularly because Eleanor has had two fiancés named Mario, and that's how she says it.
And Mario.
If I say Mario, she'll be like, "Why do you say it like that?" And I'm like, "Because I know how to pronounce the name."
That's how the entire world says it, is Mario.
But New York, Boston, Philadelphia, they're all convinced it's Mario.
Yeah. Well, Italian people, you are wrong. Irish people, you are wrong.
Yeah. I always go, "Well, it's not Super Mario Brothers." And she's like, "Yeah, it is." I'm like, okay.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Just tune into anywhere that has spoken about it for the past 40 years. It's never Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
That's brutal. What have you been doing?
Just trying to keep a 3-year-old from ripping a place to pieces. And
do you do like any kind of lessons, try and go through whatever?
Not really. I mean, it's mostly just, you know, trying to get her to color and do less destructive things. And
what? Did she headbutt you?
No, it's just trying to destroy her toys and
okay. Sounds like a kid.
Yeah. No, she's just, you know, pent up. The fact that it's been raining has made it so I can't really even take her for a walk, so that kind of sucks.
Yeah, I know. That's the worst of it, because I still have a few things. We finally have renters coming in a week and a half, and I need to do one final thing, but because it's raining, I can't, because I have to go in and out of the one of the units. And I'm like, I'm just going to track mud everywhere. So what's the fucking point?
Yeah.
Waiting for it to finally break. And then tonight it's another downpour. So hopefully tomorrow it's not all muddy down there, but yeah. So stuck inside and just like, I can't even sit outside and enjoy what should be nice weather.
Yeah. No, I think it's a good portion of what's caused the insane panic of coronavirus in Los Angeles. Because people kind of freak out if it rains 3 days in a row, typically.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You throw in, you know, pandemic as well. I don't know which is scaring people more.
Well, at least around here. I would hope it's, you know, COVID-69, but
never. I think it's funny they had to like announce they were closing parking lots at the beach and shit today, because there's so many idiots still just like, bro, let's just hit Venice.
Now they're saying that there's been a spike in the cases from spring breakers down in Florida. Like,
no, I saw that.
Yeah, no shit. Of course it is.
I watched that video of the spring breakers.
Everybody has, yeah.
That went viral. And they all deserve it. Hopefully death comes quickly for a lot of them.
The only people that disagree with you are those people and their immediate families. And that's about it.
Yeah.
Everybody else is like, you know what? I hope all of you get this. And it's super fucking terrible for you. Enjoy. Bro, I mean, we've been planning this for like 2 months. 2 months? 60 days? 60 whole days. Huh.
That's a big deal in an idiot from Georgia's life.
Well, the dude with the backwards hat, somebody pointed out, you ever seen the old memes from years ago, but Scumbag Steve?
No. Okay. But this sounds like something the internet would have.
Yeah. So it's in essence that it's like this guy with a fake Gucci hat on, it's backwards, and like this fake fur coat, and it's just a still picture, and it's him like walking in the door, but he has this douchey look on his face. He's became Scumbag Steve, and this guy easily can replace, he's just bro Brian or whatever the version of him, and like, you know, the girl is like, you know, I turned 21 and all the bars are closed, I mean, what else is there to do down here? And be like, all right, I hope you get this immediately.
Yeah. I also, someone else I saw sharing a video of Spring Breakers and I can't remember where it was, somewhere in Florida, but they were pouring beer down butt cracks.
Yeah, butt shots. I saw that too.
And just top quality humans.
Did you see, do you know Joe Bartnick?
Yeah.
So that's how I saw it. You know, follow him on Twitter, but somebody had tagged him. Joe, is that you at the end of this video? And then I watched and I was like, kind of does look like Bartnick.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit. And then he was like, no, but that's definitely my move.
smart. Good credit for the good stuff.
The guy that's on there, I love it because that dude is so stoked. Does not care if there's COVID in the world. So excited for this.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, spring break moment. Tell my grandkids about this one.
Chugging the beer right out of the butt crack of
Florida
four.
We don't know 10 dudes that would love to regale you with a story like this.
For sure.
Easily. Like within knowing them for a day, you're going to hear that story. And I'm thinking,
dude, how much do I like partying? Let's just say biggest pandemic in 108 years. I'm chugging brewskis right out of the ass crack of this broad I met on the beach.
Yeah. Never
get this. She's drinking beers out of a butt crack of another chick.
Still, though, all things considered, they were way better looking than I was anticipating.
Well, yeah.
I was just expecting basically two women that looked like him, and he'd still be just as excited. But
yeah, that dude wouldn't care.
No, just for the story alone. I know the whole world is fucking, it's weird, slowly but surely shutting down more and more shit every day. Discussion of nationalizing businesses today, which will never happen, but.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to figure some shit out because it's going to be tough for a lot of things to come back quickly, that's for sure.
I mean, it's got to be minimum 2 months, but probably 3 months of this, just sitting at home as much as you possibly can and getting away with.
Yeah.
Maybe even longer. Some want it to be 18 months.
Yeah, I saw that was the far end of what they were predicting.
Well, they could limit it down to, if it runs rampant, it's like minimum 2.2 million people die in this country. Could balloon upwards, but 2.2 million. If basically the protocols we have in place begin to work, it lessens it to somewhere around a million, million one. If we did what they wanted, it goes down to, you know, some fractional percent compared to these other two much larger numbers.
Right.
And, but they're just never, there's no way we're going to be on lockdown as a society for 18 months. It's just not happening.
No, people wouldn't put up with it.
No, the economy, the businesses, governments, the average person needs to get out. It's just not going to happen. So get back first of it in 2 to 3 months, and then people will be like, you know what? Our hospitals can handle it now. We got all the testing kits and fucking masks we need so we can deal with the problem head on.
I mean, at a certain point, I don't even understand what the point of testing people is. I mean, I guess it's to make sure they don't spread it, but
yeah.
I mean, I feel like so many people have it and we just don't know.
Yeah. Well, the number of, like, I know somebody was like, oh, I'm not worried about it in my area because here in Southern California, because like, there's been no cases yet. And I told him, I was like, we only have 8,000 tests in the state. So
yeah.
That's the reason there aren't any confirmed in your area is because we can't get to you yet.
Well, yeah, that's like the West Virginia was the last state.
Yeah.
And I was reading the article of the first person who tested positive in West Virginia and the absolute debacle that they had to go through to get tested. And so it was like, at first the hospital was just like, yeah, there's nothing we can do. And she's like, he's sick, so he needs to have something. And they're like, well, you know, you can't test him. Call this number. And so she calls the number. It doesn't even connect to anything. So she like looks it up online and it's for her husband. And calls the number that they have touted, the state of West Virginia, saying this is what you call if you think you have a coronavirus, and you call it, and just this number cannot be completed as dialed. They just hadn't even set it up yet. And then she finally gets him to test him. Mm-hmm. And they're like, all right, it'll take 5 days. And meanwhile, during this 5 days, the governor keeps having press conferences about everything they're doing to make sure that they don't get any cases. And
yeah,
local news is just buying into it, I guess. So after 5 days, she calls, and it's just like, yeah, someone is supposed to call me and I haven't heard anything. And they're just like, yeah, we don't have any record of him even taking a test. It's just like, great job, guys. So then they end up, she basically has been posting about it, the process, on Facebook while all of this is going on. And basically decides she's just going to take him to Virginia to get him tested, because obviously the state is not capable of testing.
Yeah.
And post something about it, and then someone shares it with the Democratic senator, who's basically a Republican out of West Virginia.
Sure.
And somehow their office gets in contact with her, and it's just like, give us a couple days, we're going to get it worked out. And then miraculously, they were able to locate his original test.
Uh-huh.
And the delivery company had been holding on to it.
Like delivery companies do, you know? They only have one job. One job, and they're like, nah, this one's, we don't have Corona around here, but we don't feel like delivering shit. So
yeah. So they miraculously found it, and it was tested, and crazy enough, they managed to put together a press conference in the meantime before announcing that it was positive. But that was all after like 7 days of, really touting how there was nothing in West Virginia, yeah, nothing to worry about.
Well, the same way that, like, doesn't Russia have obscenely low numbers given the population of the overall country?
Yeah.
You have to assume it's an edict from Putin of like, that's not Corona. Like, in essence, we're only going to allow a certain percentage through.
Well, and then like part of Russia's thing, and they're definitely, covering up numbers, but they shut their border with China and travel from China back at the beginning of January. And they basically have been quarantining passengers from abroad for the last 3 months. And so I think to some extent, if what we're trying to do here actually does work in some way, I feel like they've been doing that hardcore without people having a choice in the matter.
Yeah.
For 3 months. But they're still covering shit up because Russia never wants to look weak. It's the same thing as Trump sending a letter to Kim Jong-un telling him what a great job he's doing, because they have no reported cases in North Korea. It's just obviously they have no reported cases. How is that in any way proof that they don't have it there?
Well, it's also, are they going to waste the time on an autopsy when it very easily just could have been malnutrition?
Yeah.
The person died because they are only getting 5 grains of rice because the fucking country is so bankrupt.
Guessing too. They probably have about 500 tests available in North Korea, and it's just going to be Kim Jong-un testing himself once a day for the next 500 days.
Probably. Maybe him and his immediate family. But yeah,
he's having them killed, so I doubt that he even cares about them.
Well, sibling, anybody that's a threat to power, yeah.
Save one for Dennis Rodman if he comes back over.
I love he's a big fan of basketball, hence the Dennis Rodman, and they have different rules for the game over there. Like a dunk is worth like 3 points or something, and then certain shots are worth more. They're trying to like futz with the game and make it their own.
It's more like MTV jock.
It's closer to that than
jock.
Current NBA, where you could do all these random little things that don't make a lot of sense unless it's just purely like, well, I think it should be this. Okay, well, that's fine. I guess you have your own country. You could do whatever the fuck you want, you know, for the time being.
Kim Jong-un, he can dunk, right?
Of course he can. And I'm sure just like his dad, he got 7 holes in 1 on his first fucking game of golf.
And, you got to admit, it's pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing.
I killer love athlete.
Well, that part of the world. So you got him, you got his dad. Putin very much has a lot of these things attributed to him or self-attributed.
Did you know that Kim Jong-un's grandfather, the original...
the OG?
The OG, dear leader. He actually rode the world's only unicorn.
Yeah, it's buried...
under the Capitol.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it's great super leader, man. He's the best.
But Poots is just keeping Russia clean over there. That's really all you need to know.
Well, it's weird, though, because you would think that type of mentality within people died off with the pharaohs, like a living god walking around type of thing.
Yeah.
Someone who's, in essence, an extension of God here on Earth, and yet modern culture, you do have Kim Jong-un. It's kind of a junior version of that. That's what we fucking boil down to. Is you know, the first time he can dunk from the 3-point line. So yeah.
Well, I mean, even the Emperor of Japan was basically a god until
yeah.
He won World War II. And that's when they were like, hey, maybe this guy's not as amazing as he claims he is.
Well, in Japan until the not so distant past as well.
Yeah. Poots, yeah. Though. I mean,
there, you know, no fucking coronavirus. So just living life on easy street.
That's what it's all about. I mean, if I could just turn our system into theirs. Yeah. Sign me up.
Just part of plowing through fucking COVID-19.
Part of what makes me so angry about this country is just the bureaucracy that prevents us from being able to execute anyone coming back from Germany.
You don't think that Trump has muttered that to himself and said aloud in some sort of meeting, just envious of a dictator having the power to do all the things that frustrate him.
Yeah. But, you know, over in Russia, they're putting people in hospitals and they're sending them home the next day. Asterisk in body bags.
Well, it would never get the disgraceful question of what do you say to Americans that are scared? And then hours later, Pence was asked the same question. He was like, don't be afraid, be vigilant. You're like, there you go. That's all you need to say.
Pretty simple. Well, I love today that person asked him if he or his family had sold any stocks after getting reports about this, but before it was announced publicly.
Yeah.
And so obviously it's just like, did you do what these crooked senators did or these crooked congressmen did? And he just goes, he's like, first of all, I think that's a nasty question, but one that deserves to be answered. And, you know, let me tell you something. I've lost billions of dollars by being the president, and that's okay. When you're a leader, that's okay. But I mean, I've lost so much money. I could make so much money, but I haven't because I'm a leader, and that's fine. And then he just literally keeps like repeating it, like the most guilty human being of all time, over and over again.
So he's trying to make himself a victim in this situation where the chorus now, by and large from both sides, is you are not handling this well.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it today. As much as W was hated, after 9/11, that next month, 2 months, 3 months, we all coalesced around him. I remember liking him and being like, you know what? He's saying all the right things. He's giving us the leadership you need from a president in that moment of just confidence and unwavering belief that we will get through this and keeping it all above the belt in general, like pleasantries, to where he was winning over moderates and some Democrats. Now, it obviously, you know, waned with time after the glow of
sure
together, But Trump can't even get that, which is crazy. We as a nation are all banding together, and yet there's still a bunch of people who are like, dude, this guy, like when he told people yesterday that the two drugs that seemed to be like the 1-2 punch to knock out, and then there were doctors on Twitter saying, please do not take this unless you have been directed by a doctor, because they both have inhibitors for your heart and can kill you.
Yeah.
You're fucking taking these.
Especially if you take them together. Like that was the big thing, was it was just like, maybe a combination of the two would work. You know, we'll have to see. They're like, no.
Yeah. Well, Fauci just behind him rubbing his brow? I'm like, oh my fucking God. When he knows full well, he shouldn't touch his face. And he can't do anything other than this moment. Like, I applaud him because he's still trying to do his job and lead us through this. And yet at the same time, he has to stand behind somebody that clearly is just like, this fucking guy just says whatever he wants to.
It's
incredible.
Going off script where you're just like, no, let's just stay on the script this time. But but it's basically every time it's that Fauci guy standing behind him, and then Trump being like, we're winning this thing. It's going to be over real soon. Let's bring up Dr. Fauci. And then he's like, we are losing horribly.
Exactly.
A long time.
Containment is over. Now we're in triage.
Just like, why are you talking?
Look, at that point, usually Trump begins to slink away and leave the room.
Yeah.
All right, man. I guess your job for the day is done. Congratulations.
Well, I saw a couple people pointing out, like, this Fauci dude is so knowledgeable. I can't believe he hasn't been fired yet.
Or gotten so fed up that, but.
I mean, I just feel like he can't quit because he really feels like the country needs him.
And but, he's right.
Yeah, but at some point, it just seems like Trump's going to be like, you know what? I don't like his negative attitude.
Oh, of course.
We're going to put Jared Kushner in charge of this. Well, and he's just going to, every day he's going to be like,
I don't know. Father-in-law for advice again on Facebook. Did you see that?
Uh-uh.
So when he was put in charge of basically shepherding this, our response, whatnot, he reached out to his father-in-law, which is the husband or the dad of a model that does Project Runway now. She's the host of that. And so then that guy went on a Facebook group, and there are other doctors in the group, but basically solicited like, what would be your game plan? And you're like, really, this is what we're doing? We're using, not to say that they couldn't have good ideas, but we couldn't conference call them away from public eyes. We can't put together a group of names to do this in like a fucking stream like we're doing now, as opposed to just any asshole that wants to join this group can enter into this discussion.
Matt, this is the only way I'm going to have a chance to get my two cents in.
What's your first policy?
First policy, execute anyone who's been to Italy for the last year. Second policy.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, you know, I went a few years ago. We were talking about maybe going again,
Matt, it was
your time frame.
A few years ago was perfectly fine. I don't even know why we're acting like this is the same thing. Anytime in 2020.
You want to try that sentence again?
No, I don't.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, anytime 2020. I'm following.
If you had traveled abroad at all this year. Executed immediately. I'm going to track down the two Chinese comedy fans that sat at my table at Carney's on New Year's Eve and gave me COVID-19.
You went to Carney's for dinner?
Yeah, I had two spots at the Comedy Store. My first one was like at 8 o'clock, and the second one was like at 11:30. So in between my two spots, I walked down to Carney's. I was sitting by myself. Three Asian people approached me. One was from the Valley. The other two were her friends from China who were visiting for New Year's.
Okay.
They had just seen me in the early OR show, and then they took selfies and sat down at the table while I sat there and ate. Wasn't like a, hey, can we sit down? It's just like, they just sat down. Asked me a bunch of questions about comedy, and then they left. And about a week later, I started getting real sick, and then spent the next 3 weeks with the worst bronchitis I've ever had in my life. And went to the urgent care multiple times. They just kept saying, yeah, you don't have the flu. It's some sort of viral bronchitis, I guess. Would give me shots and an inhaler and some sort of a breathing treatment while I was there and shit.
Yeah, none of which some did anything. Steroids and shit.
What's that?
So you're on steroids or something, like prednisone or?
Yeah, something. So yeah, that was a good time. No one could tell me what it was. Everyone just kept saying it's some sort of viral bronchitis, I guess.
All right, well, you could have been an early adopter. Look at you, hipster with the fucking COVID-19.
Dude, I was doing COVID-19 before it was cool.
But let's start that story over again. You went to fucking Carney's?
No.
I love it because you eat well, but you probably could be eating better, but you do have type 1 diabetes. So then adding the nitrites and the sodium and all the terrible shit that is going to be in Carney's because it's all coming out of cans and
fucking. I'm pretty sure Carney's is natural.
Pretty sure no hot dog is natural.
Well, that's why I got the burger, Matt. Okay. Yeah.
That's not an argument for. You went to a hot dog place and got the burger. So that's even worse. It's like getting the fish when it's the only fish option at a steak place and be like, well, clearly that shit is frozen and it's their only fucking fish. So it's not like that's what they're known for.
Matt, I don't even eat fish, bro. Okay.
Not at all?
No.
Nothing. There's not one type of fucking underwater animal, shrimp, crustacean, cephalopod.
Nothing. I don't like it. I even when I was a kid, I hated fish sticks or whatever that bullshit is. They tried to feed fish sticks.
Well, yeah. What trash cans and are you?
Listen, I'm from a state that's thousands of miles from any ocean. So that shit wasn't fresh, and I wasn't about to eat catfish or trout or whatever it is that they serve fresh in Kansas.
Yeah, but fish sticks are just – I loved those as a kid. I didn't like fish, but I loved those.
No, I wasn't into it. I was very picky when I was a kid, but hated fish sticks. I've always hated tuna.
It took me a long time to come around to tuna, but I only like it when you talk about tuna fish in the can shit, but – I only like it when I make it a specific way. Like I can't just eat anybody's tuna fish.
Right. Yeah. I don't do it. That's why I'm over there eating that health food at Carney's. You know, I'm not going to waste my time.
I'm trying to think what else though is the fucking better choice. Cause yeah, Pink Dot's going to be anything you can get at any convenience store. So that's no better.
Yeah.
You're going to be overpaying to go to what the standard to eat over there or.
Yep. Not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, within walking.
I've been to the standard like three times, and every time it was just like the most average food for like $26 a person.
Yeah.
I thought about going to Greenblatt's, but I couldn't get anyone to go with me.
Yeah, but you're paying $24 for a fucking turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
So you're getting, that's every Jewish deli. And they put all the goddamn meat in the first quarter inch of the bread slice, and then they need to flatten that curve too, because it's just, that's what I do every time I go to a Jewish deli. I pull off the toothpick, pull off the top piece of bread, and spread the meat around like a fucking sandwich, and then put everything back together again because it doesn't make any sense. But I hate paying $24 for roast beef and be like, it's the same amount of roast beef I get anywhere else. Why am I overpaying for this?
Yeah, I like Greenblatt's, but I'm definitely not going to go eat there by myself. So it was Carney's. It was Carney's with two Chinese guys with the plague is what I ended up getting.
You got it out of your system early.
I hope so. Because if I just happen to have the world's worst viral bronchitis for 3 weeks and I'm going to get the COVID, then I'm going to be pretty pissed.
Man, I haven't had bronchitis. I used to smoke. I was a pack to a pack and a half a day smoker for a long time. And I'd get bronchitis. It averaged out to almost every winter once I was like a legitimate smoker.
I never got, like I used to get it when I was a little kid, but
okay.
I never got it even when I smoked cigarettes.
How much did you smoke?
What's that?
How much did you smoke? Like what was
I mean, at the peak, I smoked probably close to a pack a day, but you know, that was like in my early 20s or something.
Yeah, but you were out here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I did it in cold weather. I stopped by the time I was 22, 21, 22, something like that.
At post fish.
Yeah. I just remember like a week after I quit and I was hanging out at a bar with friends and they were all smoking, looking at me like, wow, you're really not going to smoke? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I quit. And, but I was definitely 21, obviously at the time, but yeah, I don't think I was 22. I was 21. I started smoking in eighth grade.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Pretty fucking cool.
Thank you. Thank you. I was the last, I moved to Peoria, Illinois. So between seventh and eighth grade and all my friends that I made there, they all smoked. Now they weren't smokers. You know what I mean? It's like, it's Friday night and they all are splitting a pack of cigarettes. So everybody has like two cigarettes over the course of the night, but they all smoked and I made it like 6 months. And then finally I was like, all right, I'll try, you know, puff. And from there on, I was a pack a day smoker probably by middle to end of my freshman year of high school.
Wow.
Yeah. And then smoked a pack a day roughly until 21, 22, somewhere in there.
Well, as long as, you know, your lungs had time to heal so that if you get the dreaded COVID, you won't be suffering.
Well, now, though, when I get a cold, what used to be whatever, 7 to 10 days lasts 3 weeks. So COVID is probably going to last 50% longer than it should.
Yeah, I mean, if I had it, it was brutal. Like I got it and I could barely breathe and had a nasty cough. And then after like a week and a half, it was like, well, this isn't really doing better.
Yeah.
And then it just got worse. And, but yeah, it was pretty brutal. If that's what it was, then they're not kidding. It's really shitty.
Well, given the fact that, you know, when Governor Cuomo was asked, what's the number one priority for the state? This was yesterday. And it said ventilators, 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 and just kept repeating that word. Because although there's a Canadian doctor that managed to figure out a way to turn one ventilator into nine. So he put the plans up online. So if that works for, you know, the bulk of, it's like if it's a common ventilator type or whatever, that's huge.
Increases the numbers exponentially.
Yeah, to go up ninefold on, even if it's only 40 or 50% of all ventilators, okay, well, suddenly we now have that amount of inventory times nine.
But, I mean, he's Canadian. And I heard Trump saying, I think it was yesterday or maybe the day before, but we've got the best ventilators. And we're talking state-of-the-art stuff and just unbelievable ventilators here in America. So you're going to want those. You're not going to want one of these, you know, Canadian ventilators with the nine splitter on it.
This has got to be one of those rare times when you and Trump are in simpatico about a specific issue. Yeah, Canada, I'm not going there for my prescriptions. I'm not going there for my maple syrup. And I'm sure shit not going there for my ventilators.
If we're talking about saving Canadian lives, this might be the biggest travesty of all time.
Well, just go up there and puncture holes in all the lines. So it doesn't work for them, but it works for us.
He's got to puncture a hole in the main ventilator, and then, you know, they'll all be missing out on air in all nine. How does that work?
You're definitely an expert.
Do the patients all have to, like, lay next to each other in a circle around the ventilator?
It's actually a human centipede, and they're just – it's all one continuous – it's just like a big loop, like a circuit.
It's very similar to the chugging out of the butt crack.
Exactly. Dude, I can't – oh, man. I was up in Canada for COVID. Oh, brother.
It's called the Canadian centipede, a.k.a. the COVID line.
Dude, I was frostpeding this chick, right? Oh man.
Yeah, it's they sound like they're pretty doomed in New York for the next couple months.
Yeah, although on some level, I'm kind of happy that we are one of the first that got it, so we can kind of get the ball rolling and get through it quicker instead of doing what West Virginia did and just making the problem worse and denying what's going on, thereby ballooning the eventual outcome. It's just like, all right, let's jump and deal with this bullshit now.
Yeah, when the old dude in Kansas died from it, that's when I was like, oh, this shit is, it's out there. He's like from small town Kansas, hasn't ever traveled abroad. Hasn't been in contact with anyone who's gone abroad. And it's like, he's from like an hour outside of Kansas City. So he got it and died pretty quick. It's like, all right, if that dude got it, this shit's around, because there's not Chinese tourists in Spring Hill, exactly. Kansas.
And international travel in and out of.
Yeah.
It's just, it passed from one person to the next, and it's going to spread fucking everywhere, so.
Yep.
But, you know, we're going to be getting sweet $1,000 to $2,000 a month, so fucking.
I'm pretty sure it's just a one-time payment, but.
Oh, they're going to do a bulk sum, one-time payment?
Yeah, we're just going to get $1,200 once, and that should take care of the economy.
Oh, yeah, no, $1.2 trillion package. That makes sense.
Well, that's why, that's part of why the Democrats allegedly won't vote for it, is because a large majority of the money the Republicans are just trying to push to go to the largest corporations, because it's a, yet again, we're going with the trickle-down theory. And
isn't a big part of it just a fund that it comes up to the discretion of whatever department oversees it, and they get to choose where that money goes, and there's no oversight?
Yeah.
In this, we're still trying to bilk taxpayers out of money.
Yep. Going to make sure the people who really need it will never see it. And the, like, even Trump was like, well, you know, we don't want to buy back their own stock. You know, we definitely don't want that, but you know, we'll see what happens. It's like, what? And they made it seem like it might happen. Income,
like, level threshold where, you know, does Jeff Bezos need $1,200?
He certainly does.
Of course he does.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they were saying the original plan was like, you, anyone who makes under 75 a year, households, married couples, less than 150. But then everyone, Republicans were arguing that, you know, this is going to hold up the money because, you know, we're going to have to be checking tax returns and stuff to see who's earned.
Oh. Well, if you guys are hearing this right now, because we are streaming this, this is the first time it happened to us before we started recording. Rick's screen has frozen. All right, you back?
I think so.
Okay, we're good to go. It's still recording.
But yeah, so they want money for everyone, so that way there's not as, you know, as much bureaucracy trying to figure.
Okay, and we lost him again. Let's see if he comes back quick. Hopefully so. Hopefully all of you out there are fucking staying safe. I know we're talking about this nonstop, but it's been both of our lives here in California. We're on full shutdown. You're not supposed to leave your house unless it's something absolutely essential, like going to the grocery store, running to a hospital, I guess. All right, he's back and frozen simultaneously. You know, once he gets back, we may just go ahead and call it a day on this one. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
All right, let's see if this one actually lasts.
It just keeps saying my service is interrupted.
That happened to us last night when we were streaming something off Amazon. All of a sudden, it just stopped. Which, have you started Tiger King?
No, I don't know what that is.
Do you have Netflix?
Yeah.
Watch it. I'm two episodes in, and I'm amazed by how interesting I find it. And Oh, sorry. I thought I cut it on. Anyway, interesting as I find it, and also, like, I've watched a bunch of these different docuseries, and they get to the certain points where they're just regurgitating the same information to kind of pad out to get six episodes when it should really be three type of shit. And this one, through two episodes, everything has been merited, every second of it, because they have to fully tell. There's basically a story from three different parts, and they have to fully tell each individual because they all have a lot of the same thing, and it really gives full life to the overall. I can't. So far, the two episodes, it's pretty fantastic.
He's a king of tigers.
He lives in Oklahoma, and he's got a wildlife park with, it's like, I think somewhere around 200 tigers.
Seems safe.
Then there's another dude in Myrtle Beach that you get introduced to, and he's got his own, you know, basically wildlife park that people pay to come and meet the animals, just like the dude in Oklahoma. And then there's a woman in Florida who has the Big Cat Rescue, and she's a nonprofit. And it's all of them telling their stories, and the overlap is really incredible between the three of them. And you can't figure out who the worst one is.
That's nice.
Legitimately, I couldn't. I think I have one. I think the Oklahoma guy is the least shitty, and that's saying something because you open. That's that's the face on the fucking the thumbnail. Dude looks. Yeah. But the other two are like shady as shit.
I mean, they have a bunch of lions and tigers and shit.
Exactly.
I mean, that's like some Tijuana drug lord shit.
Yep. Is one of those guys, does he exhibit some of the attributes of, say, a cartel runner? A little bit. Also say that for another one as well. Like, it goes back and forth. Just when you think, like, oh, this is clearly the shittiest person, they flash over and tell the exact same type of story from this other person's perspective. And you're like, nope, this one's the shittier version. And they go back over here. I can't wait for episode three. Like, and I think there's seven, and it seems fully justifiable after two, where so far they haven't retread any real information through two full hours, and we're still going.
The only person I want to see interacting with tigers is Kenny Powers, plain and simple.
Yeah, Oklahoma, I guess, would be, he's not Kenny Powers, but he's the closest to like a caricature that Kenny Powers may have in a movie of his.
Well, they sound terrible.
They're all terrible.
If there's ever a time to release those animals and let them roam free, it's now.
Well, the dude in Myrtle Beach has a fucking elephant.
That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Does he abuse it at least?
It's not the animals he abuses. And you'll see that if you watch the show.
All right. I'll check it out. I mean, it sounds like this dude is fucking elephants, but.
Well, no, that's Elephant Prince. And that comes out in next month.
Is that Prince, P-R-I-N-T-S, or P-R-I-N-C-E?
TS is the clothing line that they are rolling out at the same time.
Pretty dope.
We'll get you a nice like button up, like a short sleeve button up. You just wear that.
I'm thinking like a 70s vinyl baseball jacket. Just says, you know.
What, like a Letterman jacket?
No, like those. They almost look like they're rainproof jackets that people wear. Darwin Hines used to always wear one.
Oh, you mean like a satin jacket?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, not vinyl. I'm thinking of fake leather, like shitty 70s vinyl.
No.
Yeah, like a satin. I almost bought a Bulls one like 2 years ago that was from some dude in fucking Chicago off eBay, but you could tell it was like a pure 80s, just bright red, shiny with Bulls right across, and it has those snap buttons.
Yep, those are the ones.
Yeah.
Prime time is what that is.
Well, dude, by the time we get out of this, we'll probably be getting each other all gifts and shit. So if that's what you want, man, I will make that happen. You want an elephant print satin jacket or satin jacket?
Nailed it. It's all I've ever wanted.
just on the back it says Rick Tater, and it actually just has two thumbs pointing down at it on a graphic.
Oh, I mean, that's a beautiful thought. I'd like to get them for everybody.
Worldwide. Who is everybody? Everybody that makes it on the other side of COVID-19?
If you survive the COVID, you get one of these. Who survived COVID? This guy.
So on the front, it just says COVID-19 2020. And there's I survived on the back, and it's all elephant print. That's beautiful.
Yep.
Start your own clothing label.
Maybe like some Eye of the Tiger references or something.
Oh, there's going to be more than one satin jacket.
Yeah.
There's no point limiting yourself to just an elephant print with two thumbs pointing down saying, I survived.
You get one maybe with a nice, you know, print up of Richie Taylor on it. You know, on the back, instead of the name, it says McGriddles. You know, something.
That's a nice inside joke about a person they have no idea who is. Perfect.
Trust me, that's what all my podcasts are about. You better figure out who we're talking about.
Exactly. A guy that has no presence online whatsoever. Good luck to you. Did I tell you about Funston? I was trying to get him to come back to playing basketball with us. It's just like every once again, I'll get a text from him and be like, dude, I'm thinking about coming. And like, hey, man, you know, we're still there. We're playing. So eventually I started doing you know what? You shouldn't show up. You've become the most disliked person out here. And I just kept building on it, building on it. I was like, even Richie's son, for those listening, Rocco, who's like 10, 11. I was like, dude, even Rocco's out here talking shit. He told me today he gets way more puss than you do. Mark sends back like, what? No, shut up. He did not. So the next week, Rocco was there. And I was like, hey, Rocco, do me a favor. I want to send this video. You know who Funston is? I described him. He's like, oh, yeah. I was like, all right, just say on the video that you get way more chicks than he does. And he's like, no problem. So then I did, you know, made up that video. And he's on this scooter. And he did this on his own. It was perfect, you know, as if Richie has been teaching him how to, you know, cut these promos for years. And he skates in and just like, hey, Funston, I definitely get way more girls than you do. And he just then pushes off on this fucking scooter and shoots off. He's like, perfect, dude. Rocco gets way more puss than you. He's just out here talking shit.
Yeah, he's always telling me about how amazing Rocco is at everything, how the girls all love him, and he's just such a stud athlete. I'm like, isn't he like 10? He's like, well, yeah, but he's way advanced for his age group. It's like, all right.
He's a pretty good shooter, I will say that.
Well, his dad's a star athlete. What do you expect?
Well, you know, could have gone pro, you know, football if he wanted, if not for that motorcycle accident.
Dude, even after the motorcycle accident, 5'4". Even after that motorcycle accident, he was positive that from his wheelchair, he could still be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Easy. And it was hard to argue with him. It was like, you might be right.
Yeah, well, yeah, perhaps not anymore, but we could find another team where that certainly could be the case.
Probably the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Boom, just roasted him. TB12.
Take that, Brady. He's listening.
Dude, that team's interesting. The Saints are looking like they're stacking up to be interesting. What, Melvin Gordon now on the Broncos? Okay, that makes them a little more interesting, although I still don't know what they're going to do with quarterback, but.
Yeah, there's no point. That's a terrible signing.
For what they gave him. I mean, what if the kid actually does show promise at quarterback? You only need him to be so good if you have that many young potential weapons around him.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm a firm believer in the Denver Broncos being absolute garbage.
Well, especially in your division, you guys are now going to rule that division for probably 5 to 7 years.
Maybe. Hopefully. I mean,
end up like Rodgers, where the team just continues to screw it up and not surround him with enough talent, which I'm thankful as a Bears fan.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. You know, the Chiefs have made the right decisions. We, you know, gave a big contract to the guy who broke his kid's arm and, you know, keeping football players playing football. That's the important thing.
You're good at one thing. It's the Dallas Cowboys approach. What's that? You physically abuse a woman, but you might be able to get us 7.5 to 10 sacks this year? I think we'll sign you to a massive signing bonus. Not a problem.
No reason not to.
Who was that? Was that Greg Hardy? Who was the guy that everybody was up in arms? It was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, he beat up his woman, threw her on the couch, then grabbed a bag of automatic machine guns and threw those at her. Let her know he was going to shoot her with one of them.
Good human. And Jerry Jones went, I think he could help us win. So
it's kind of give him another chance.
Yeah, football games, maybe.
And now he's getting disqualified from MMA fights for punching dudes in the dick or something.
Oh, really? I don't pay attention to any MMA, so.
Yeah, he was in a fight last year, I think, and he ended up getting DQ'd because I can't remember if he kneed him or punched him, but basically just hit someone square in the dick, so.
I like the way you stressed in the dick.
It's a vicious.
You've got to feel the nut shot a little more than just like I hit him in the balls. You know what I mean? Just clocked him. You got him in the dick. You could feel that. Did I ever tell you a story? I ruptured my brother's balls when we were kids.
No, that sounds horrible though.
Oh, dude. So I want to say I was like 7. Something along those lines. My brother's 3 years older than me. At a certain point in the year, he's 4 years older than me. You know what I mean? For a short duration of time from September to December, he's 4 years older than me, but he's 3 years older than me. So he was 10. Maybe he was 11. I was 8. So he had this game that he called the G.I. Joe Hang Glider. And we laid on our backs and we put the soles of our feet on, you know, touching each other. So heel toe on each foot. And in essence, the game was person A is dictating where the feet go. Person B needs to keep their feet attached to the other person's feet. And if you manage to shake one of their feet, you get to kick them in the balls.
Good game.
Great game. And he told me the game and he was like, do you want to go first or second? I went, I want to go first. So we were doing it and his foot came off. So I just reached back and I mean, with my right fucking heel and clocked him right in the balls. As hard as I could on my back. You know what I mean? You got good leverage. So just bam, nailed him. And we were on the couch and he's on the couch of the bed, but he rolled off. I remember that and hits the ground. He's screaming. My mom comes running upstairs, like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Type of thing. And I was like, this is his game. Like, I'm just playing it. I don't know what to say. You know what? Hey, I'm fucking 7. So he had to walk around for a month, like he just gotten off a horse, like just huge and bow-legged because his testicle had swollen way too huge and had to eventually go in and have surgery to reduce the swelling on his testicles. But they couldn't do it until the swelling went down. So just for a month, they had to walk around like he just, you know, it was one of Pony Express riders. His balls are just fucking massive.
I remember when legendary Comedy Store open micer Crispy Chicken had a horrible hernia. What's that?
Never heard that one. Crispy.
You never heard of Crispy Chicken?
Crispy Chicken? I don't think so.
It was Chris P. Chicken.
So that was his stage name?
That was his stage name. And he had a great opening line about how he looked like a homeless Tom Selleck. And he legitimately looked like a homeless Tom Selleck.
Not a bad opener, though.
At some point, he had a hernia, and he kind of went back and forth between living in some shitty, decrepit building, Filipino town or something is.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There's Thai town. There's Chinatown.
He lived in like this real shitty building there, had a little studio in there. And then for a while he was homeless. And so after he was homeless, he'd still show up to the Comedy Store all wasted. And at one point his balls started swelling because he had such a bad hernia. And then over the next like month and a half, he would like, he was basically like limping. It was so disturbing. And eventually he was confined to a wheelchair, and it just this massive swollen tumor, it looked like, in his pants. And so he shows up one day at the Comedy Store, and he had just purchased a wheelchair at a thrift store. And this shit was so old, it had wooden wheels. And,
and Civil War wheelchair?
I mean, full on, just like, where did this come? Was this a movie prop at some point? Like,
it had to be. It was just sitting in someone's house for 150 years?
Yeah, no idea. But he rolls this thing down and gets there, and everyone's like, you got to have surgery. He's like, what? I can't afford surgery. Then he stands up, and it's his pant leg is so swollen and tight from it sitting on the side. We're all just like physically ill from it. And then he was gone for like 3 months. He shows back up, and he was walking, and someone was like, hey, did you have that surgery? Yeah, I ended up having the surgery. I passed out on the street, and they took me in and basically said it was life or death. So, you know, they had to drain the sac and then fix it. And we're all just like, oh. And then he got banned. And then he would just stand on the ramp at the Hyatt and scream at Dean Gelber. Gelber, as soon as you go inside, I'm coming down there. I'm going to piss in your convertible. It's just like,
beautiful.
Great guy.
I'm amazed Dean didn't adopt him into the fucking Dean 13.
He wishes. He wishes.
It sounds like he's just crazy enough to be in there. Have you seen any of those, the Loon Squad?
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen two or three of them since New Year's.
Okay.
There's this one guy, OJ, AKA Johnny Hardcore, that comes around. He showed up one night years ago. This is how he got in the Dean 15, in a limousine with a date, and got so wasted that he proceeded to climb on top of the limo and dent the roof in, and then physically fought the limo driver.
Okay.
And then, so Dean banned him. And then his dad owns a trash bag company in Orange County. And so he showed up with something like 500 rolls of trash bag.
Oh, to get back in Dean's good graces?
And Dean is just like, all right, bro, you're welcome here anytime you want.
Well, that's the store, though. At least until modern times when they have money and it's not just a fucking asylum.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you added any kind of value, then you were allowed to just hang around.
Yeah. And so he's like, dude, these trash bags will last a decade. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
And then it was,
like disintegrated. They were made of paper.
Yeah. And then I saw the guy I called Andre the Giant, who wrote Kickflip Cameron, the worst script I ever read. It was a 200-something page skateboarding vampire movie.
I love it. So in essence, a page equals a minute of screen time.
Yeah.
So a 200-minute fucking skateboarding movie.
Yeah, with vampires. And Dean was like legitimately like, bro, I might produce this script. I think it's great. And he had me read it. And I'm like, dude, honestly, worst script I've ever read in my life. No, it's not that bad. Go, dude, it's awful. So at page 210, they get to the climax of this movie. And
what does it say, to be continued?
Yeah, that's it. They walk in. They walk in the front door. A trap door opens. The two main characters fall about a story into shallow water. To be continued.
After 210 pages.
Yeah.
You ever read, not to sidetrack you, we can get back to the other of the Dean. Hopefully it's Mini Dean. But have you ever read a friend's script and just blown away by how fucking terrible it is?
I mean, when I first moved out here, my roommate got this job reading scripts for some, I think it was like Madonna's production company or something. Okay. And he would give them to me and be like, yeah, tell me what you think about this. Cause I don't even know if I can write something up. It's so bad. And I would just read them and just like amazed. They were all so terrible. Like there was never one that was even moderately good.
But did he give you any that he thought were good or just all?
No, he just, they were all so bad. He was just like, can you find anything about this? These were like the scripts that the company had been like, these might be okay. We need to get some more opinions.
Yeah.
But
I've read tons of people's scripts. Some of them have been good and some have been bad, but there's like one or two where I finished it and I was like, I'm going to see this person in 24 hours to 48 hours. Like, I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to say. I can't think of anything positive outside of like, hopefully they don't look for anything deeper than, oh, I really, you know, I think you make great names and like searching for any fucking thing you can think of. Cause you're like, dude, the logic that you get from end of act one to the start of, you know, the middle of act two doesn't make any fucking sense. And you introduce this character, but there's no payoff. I remember I read one once where a guy wrote it and it was supposed to be like the best police detective in Los Angeles type of thing. That was the premise of it. It's going to be a TV show. And he discovers the criminals. It was a criminal gang in this one, but discovers the criminals by sheer happenstance. They were in the same parking lot at the same time. And they were walking out of this distinctive store that basically made him put two and two together. So he figured out that those people were the ones that were committing all these robberies. And you're like, so it just happens to be in the same parking lot, but he was going to Ralph's or something. And there happened to be this other, you know, business right next to it. It's fucking, it was so bad. And then he's like, what'd you think? And I gave a bunch of different notes and he didn't like them. And then he gave the script to his manager and the manager came back and basically said almost everything I said. So then he asked me to read a bunch of the rest of his stuff. Cause he's like, well, my manager, you know, said, you know what you're talking about. And I was like, yeah, because you wrote a bad fucking script. It's easy to tell when it's dog shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, these words seem like they're mostly English. So that's, you know, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Or like, so I had read another one where he had written in all the musical cues of like, cue this song. So you could tell within the script that meant more to him because he was crafting these moments for this specific song. It's like, yeah, but your story's a fucking mess. Like, it doesn't make any goddamn sense.
He's going full Tarantino, bro. You plan out every single bit of it because he's going to write, star, direct.
Yeah, I mean, I have read a few that have been good, but I've read a lot of dog shit ones.
I remember at film school reading a couple people's scripts and just being like, it's so easy to see what you think you are.
Yeah.
Like whose style you're 100% trying to rip, but like, this is just so terrible.
Yeah. Which is fine because you're 18, 19, 20, you know?
Yeah.
It's when you're 33 and handing me a script. I read one that got a dude a meeting with the head of like television development at Fox. And I read the script. I was like, are you fucking kidding me with this? It was basically live action Family Guy. Every joke was them cutting away. And I was like, none of the jokes, they're apropos of nothing. And how are you going to do this in live action?
Hilariously.
Oh, dude, it was so bad. And I was like, well, of course you got a meeting because it reminds them of something they already have on the air. But I mean, to see that, like, and you'd start thinking like, wow, he could sell this. And it is so fucking God awful. Maybe this is what you need to be doing. It's like when Dave Taylor started writing Lifetime movies because he watched a bunch of them and just figured out a formula for it and churned out a bunch of Lifetime movies. Like, woman moves to new town, blah, 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 happens over here. She has a dog. It's this time of year. It's called this. And just like, I've read a few of them. I was like, yeah, this seems like, you know, meat and potatoes, exactly what they do. Good for you. I hope you sell it because it seems right up their alley. I don't know if he ever did.
Money in the bank.
Yeah, easy payday.
Lifetime probably pays $200-$300 a script. That's not bad.
$200-$300, you think? That's a union wage for a Lifetime script?
I doubt they're doing union jobs over there. Plus, you got to write under an alias, pretend that you're an abused woman.
Well, sure. Or you make your name so ridiculous, you know, fucking Gavin Steelington. Ooh,
that's not bad, actually.
Thank you. Thank you. Right off the top, off the dome, my friend.
Gary COVIDson.
Gary, you know, aren't you supposed to be like eliciting some sort of sexual desire within the woman through the name Gary?
Trust me, Gary's get ladies going, period.
What proof do you have? Just Gary Larson, just bang untold women?
I hadn't even thought of that, but let's just say the Far Side really, you know, caused a stormy season.
What other Garys you got? Dolman?
There's Gary Coleman. Gary Carter's a legendary baseball player.
Sure.
Who Gary Payton.
From the 82 Mets.
The Glove, Gary Payton.
Okay. Contemporary Garys?
There's Gary Nebraska, the guy who discovered Nebraska.
Who's hated by Kenneth Kansas.
Well, he ran things until Ted Lincoln showed up and really settled that area.
You say, give me a Gary outside of Goldman of the past 20 years, 15 years.
They're mostly Canadian, so I'm not even going to, you know, give them the credit of having a last name.
Okay, well, that means you can't think of anything. So that was the best you could do in that moment was, well, there are lesser people, so I choose not to even name them. All right, fine.
Gary Glitter.
15, 20 years, and I think he's brought, you know, a bit of shame to the name Gare.
That's the way you want it. You know, any press is good press.
Yeah. Yep, that adage. You know, holds true. Some people would say that's the exception that makes the rule. Nope, this is the exception for, you know, the rule was made for.
Yep.
All right. Well, anyway, all the untold Garys that are from lesser countries that we choose not to say, but are internationally famous.
The Untold Garys, by the way, one of my favorite bands.
Well, then there's your alter ego, Gare Bear.
The Swedish, he's a lover, is really what he is.
It's Rick the Human Tornado Hurricane Dictator Gare Bear Ingram.
It's got a nice ring to it. I mean, it's not precise, but.
Oh, it's not precise? What is the official? I apologize.
I think it's Rattlesnake. The
Rooster. Oh, you're bringing that back. I thought that dropped off. The lexicon.
There's just too many namesakes to remember.
Well, this sounds an awful lot like Canadian Garys. You know, that just, you know, why the fans know.
Trust me, they know what Garys we're talking about.
I say we call it there.
Always end on a Gary. That's a rule.
Show has no real natural conclusion points. We might as well just arbitrarily choose one. We're almost an hour and a half in. I think we've wasted our own time and hopefully the listeners for long enough. Where can people find you? What should they look out for? Are you guys still doing the store podcast on a hiatus like this?
No, I don't think they ever figured out something like this. So
it's super simple. You can do 3- and 4-way and I think up to 5 people at once.
Yeah, I don't know. No one said anything to me, and I'm not too concerned about it. So,
okay,
yeah, I'm on social media just ranting about the fall of society,
as if that's somehow different from 3 to 4 months ago.
No, it's pretty much the same, but it's just a lot more often.
What are you saying? Your tweets per day are up. So it was previously 1 to 2, and now it's 4 to 7.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty accurate statistic, I would say. I've just got nowhere else to really spew my personal form of just bile.
Well, I think everybody's going through that right now. So hopefully you're cutting through the chatter, you know what I mean? Resonating with people.
If there was ever a voice that the people needed right now, it is surely mine.
Well, you should get in that Facebook group about, you know, what things doctors should be doing, what should be our health protocols. Teach them the snowplow theory and fucking, is, you know, railroad this thing, steamroll this rather.
Steamrollers.
Where can people find you?
Twitter, Instagram, all that, at Rick Ingram.
All right. You can find
Friendster.
A Friendster?
Yep. MySpace.
And on LinkedIn, it's what, the Rick Tater?
The Rick Tater. That's also my AOL instant messenger.
Perfect. Find him on all those. He loves to IM. You can follow me anywhere at Matt Nost. Thank you so much for listening to this week's show. Stay safe out there. Wash your hands. Don't fucking touch people. I got nothing else. You?
No, yeah. I say touch people, but just no one near me.
All right, that's it for this week on Embrace the Hate.